Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 70s, in the really early 70s, there was an institution that had a jingle that went like this. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Have it your way, have it your way at Burger King. Maybe you heard that if you're ancient of days enough like I am to remember that, and some of you younger ones probably are going, what is this guy singing about and doing? But see, that was Burger King's answer to McDonald's to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. You could have the Big Mac at McDonald's any way you wanted it, as long as it was McDonald's way. You couldn't deviate. If you wanted to add extra ketchup or take some pickles off, you had to wait in line forever. And so Burger King came up with this unique idea at the time that anybody should be able to go to a fast food restaurant, get a hamburger any way you want it, special order, and not have to wait any longer to receive your burger. Have it your way. A special order. That's what's happening in this part of Luke's gospel. The people and the tax collectors too, who heard John the Baptist, justified God, being baptized with John's baptism as he pointed them to Jesus, God's Messiah. The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God, rejecting God's baptism, and thus rejected Jesus. That's because this Baptist and this Jesus, though they had some fiery preaching and they witnessed Jesus doing some great miracles, they would not follow Jesus as the Messiah. You see, John and Jesus didn't fit their order of what the Messiah should be and do. They wanted a Burger King Messiah according to their own special order and not according to the one that God sent them. Hold the pickles there, Mr. Baptist. Your eating habits and your attire are way too weird and different. You seem to be a separatist, and you're also very rigid. Your preaching of repentance isn't quite what we're looking for. And by the way, we really didn't appreciate that brood of vipers label that you put on us. And you, Jesus, well, hold the lettuce. You're way too sociable for us. You hang around with the wrong kind of people. Our Messiah certainly wouldn't have healed the centurion's son like you did. Our Messiah certainly wouldn't be hanging around with Gentiles like you do. Our Messiah wouldn't pollute himself by touching unclean people and making them clean again. And your dinner guests? Oh, really, Jesus, our Messiah wouldn't be hanging around and eating with prostitutes and tax collectors like you do. You're doing this stuff on the fringe. Nope, you're not our Messiah. You're not served our way. In fact, you rather upset us. Jesus uses this as a teaching moment concerning this generation. But when Jesus talks about this generation and this part of Luke, Jesus then implies that there's another generation. There's this age and another age to come. There's this generation and another generation. The promised age of salvation, which is what all of God's people were waiting for. This generation is filled with sin and sorrow. This generation is filled with prejudice and economic disparity. This generation is filled with famine and drought. This generation is filled with sickness and ultimately death. This generation rejects God and his Messiah. That's the price we pay for our sin and disobedience against God. We wanted it our way, and by gosh and by golly, we got it, all according to our special order. This is not what we had bargained for, is it? But this is not God's way. This is not according to God's plan. He would not let us ultimately have it our way because God was still going to have it his way. And he would do it his way with his Messiah as well. The Messiah of his choosing. God's way to usher in the new generation would be by doing it through a poor young virgin. God's way to bring his power, rule, and reign into our time and space was in Bethlehem's manger. God's way was to show through Jesus' ministry of healing that sickness and death, poverty, hunger, sin, and Satan would not have the last word. They would not have it their way. Jesus' healing ministry showed that at the end of this age, all of sin's consequences would finally come to an end. There would be complete healing. There would be the resurrection of the dead. There would be a complete restoration and life with God forever and for all people, regardless of their heritage. The new generation would be one of a restored relationship with God through faith in the Messiah of his choosing. And he also did it by the way of his choosing, by bringing it about through sending his Messiah to a cross, saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commit my spirit." Thanks be to Jesus, he did it his way. Now you've been marked with the mark of the new generation in your baptisms. You belong to Jesus. You belong to the new generation of salvation right now. So that means everything in your life is going to go swell and right, doesn't it? Or does it? Does that mean that everything is supposed to go like we're walking through a garden path some way? Or are we still going to have trials and temptations? Do we sometimes maybe manufacture a Messiah of our own choosing? There was a member of one of my former congregations who had been in and out of trouble because of stealing and alcohol and drug abuse. And finally, when she had come out of jail on one of the times, somebody shared the gospel with her. She received the gospel and she was baptized with the mark of the new generation. But then she came up to me at one time and said, "I thought now that I became a Christian, all my problems would be solved. How come I'm still having problems? How come I'm still wrestling with these demons? Is this the way it's supposed to be?" You see, she had her own idea of what the Messiah should do and what the Christian life should be as she walked with Jesus. And by the way, this isn't a characteristic reserved just for new Christians. Any of you brothers out there who are already in the ministry, you already know that you receive these questions as well. And for those who are preparing for full-time ministry, you're going to hear the very same thing. What kind of a Messiah do we have? And we also can fall into the same trap of wanting to manufacture our own Messiah. For instance, don't we want a Messiah of our own choosing? One that will make everything go right in our lives and our ministries. When there are struggles in our ministries and it seems rather tough and we look and try to blame a congregation, then we feel like we're at the end of our rope. Don't we want a Messiah who will send us that special order divine call right now? Don't we want a Messiah maybe that will fix our loved one's illness right now? Don't we want a Messiah that will solve all of our financial problems right now? Don't we want a Messiah at times who will take away all the pain and suffering right now? I'm not saying that Jesus can't or won't do these things. However, we also need to remember as Christians that even though the Messiah has made us a part of his new generation, we still exist and live out our earthly daily lives in this generation. You have been marked with the eschatological cross of Jesus Christ, which in turn means that you are also marked targets of Satan. We heard it in the hymn sung just before. And the devil is still trying to have his way with you and me. We still walk daily amidst danger. But Jesus, God's Messiah, walks with you. We pass through daily trials. But Jesus, who is tempted in every way that you and I are, still walks with you. And when we fail, and when we fall, as we surely will do at times, and probably I know we do it every day, this very same Jesus walks with you and is very patient and forgiving. Death pursues us all the way to the new generation, and it catches up with us unless Jesus Christ returns before that. But Jesus, God's Messiah, has already passed through death and opened the grave on Easter morning. This Messiah says, peace to you. Follow me. Satan and sin will continue to try to have their way with you and I. But God had his way with you in baptism, and he continues to have his way with you in Jesus. As you pass through this generation in time, you do so as people of the new generation. Your walk is heavenward all the way toward the consummation of the age to come. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." That's God's Messiah. That's Messiah's promise to you. That's having it God's way. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May this peace, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as we confess our common Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.